Hi, I'm Henry.
And I'm Maureen.
And today we have Kelly, who is Chief Nurse at West Hertfordshire Foundation Trust and has definitely got a culture of trust and freedom. So tell me, what brings you joy outside of work or in work?
Oh, well, I'm still feeling Barbados. They're still in my bones. I know. I've got to hold on to it, Henry. I need to go back. But what's actually giving me joy at the moment is, and I know by the time this podcast goes out, it would have happened. But right now, we're preparing for the National Apprenticeship Week. And it's about celebrating our apprentices. So just getting in a party mood. So that's giving me joy, you know, being able to celebrate.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
What's giving you joy right now?
Well, on this podcast, I'll be on my sabbatical.
Okay.
We have sabbaticals every 6 years. A free one-month sabbatical. So I'm going to go up to northern Sweden with my family on Interrail. And then I will go down with my wife to southern Spain. So from Strasbourg to Perpignan to Tarragona to Valencia to Seville to Cadiz.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yes. So in northern Sweden, there'll be lots of snow. And then in southern Spain, there'll be hopefully some nice sun.
Oh, that sounds awesome. So tell me something. How long does it take by Interrail?
By Interrail, it probably from northern Sweden to southern Spain, it probably takes about 3 days.
Oh, so you get to sleep on the train?
Yes. Yes, we do get to sleep on the train. Yes,
oh,
yes,
I love that. I might have to. I'm putting it down. Things to do.
Excellent. Okay, so Kelly, you started working as Chief Nurse and Director of Infection Prevention at West Hertfordshire Foundation Trust about 18 months ago. 10 years ago, the department was in special measures. They now have the 7th shortest waiting time in A&E nationally, up from 104th. They have the fastest discharge rate nationally, and they meet all 3 cancer measures based on a culture of trust and freedom. So previously, you had worked at Mid and South Essex NHS Trust, where you had managed to get waiting time for ambulances down to 0. How did you do that? And why can't everybody do it?
Oh, I love that you've clumped all of my information into one and made it sound so fabulous. So it's changed slightly. We're not 7th at the moment. We're 13th. It goes in waves. When we did that last conversation, it was a bit different. And in Mid and South Essex, one of our sites, we got down to 0 wait for ambulances. And one of the things, it wasn't the whole of Mid and South Essex before everyone jumped on me. But what we did is, well, really all of it is about leadership, I would say.
Okay.
And helping the organisation and the departments that you're in to feel empowered to make a change and to do something different. I think what's happened a lot over the years is we've all got into a bit of a difficult spot. So following on from COVID, it's kind of we're all in a bit of a rut and normalized a lot of the things that have been going on. And that's the whole, so the community into the hospitals. And it was about releasing that actually, first of all, this is not a standard that we accept. And why are we accepting it? But also to empower everybody to do the changes themselves. And we all know, really, when you speak to people, what it is that needs to happen and how they want to do it. But if you have people up over you that give you that power to do that and support you and stand side by side and help you to take those risks, then I find that people fly, they flourish. And I think that's the biggest thing, is empowering your teams and your staff around you to just do what they do best. And it isn't actually what you do. So I'm not the person who changes it all on a day on day in, day out. They are. And they need to believe that they can do it, but they also be supported in anything that they do. And that's essentially my motto and what I do with my staff.
Right. That sounds totally awesome. And I totally agree with you about the leadership and empowerment. So how do you change people's mindset to understand that they are believed and they are trusted? Mm. How did you change that, make that move?
If I talk about here at West Hearts, when I came in, the hospital has been through a lot over the years, and especially COVID, this hospital was hit quite hard. They were having a really difficult time. Lots of the standards had slipped. It felt like it was never going to change. And what I did is, with me and a couple of others, so including my medical colleague, my medical director and e-medical officer, we went in there, so into the department in our uniforms, stopped all our other work and stood side by side with them and just acknowledged with everybody. So we did a wider piece of communication that what we're working isn't okay and we need to change it. But I'm not just going to tell you to change it. I'm not going to dictate that. I'm going to come and I'm going to work with you. And the difference, I think, is, and from remembering what it's like for me to be a nurse on the shop floor, when you have somebody who can make a difference, who can make that decision, who has the power to influence or just say yes on a box, or yes, we're going to do that, to have that person with you really makes you believe that you can change it. And so here we worked for a whole month in our emergency department with our teams. And I always use this as a thing when I talk about it. So the first couple of days I cleaned. Okay. So we cleaned out the IV storeroom. Yeah. We cleaned everywhere. And the reason I do that is, one, because I was always taught as I went up in my nursing. I had a matron I worked with for years, and he would always say, tidy ward is a happy ward. And it would just stuck with me. I do that, but also what you start to see is people copy. So what I found is after 3 days, I walked in and the doctors in this whole unit were cleaning their desks. And they walking down in the morning. And I was like, I can work with these people. This is how change happens fast.
Yes.
Because it was 3 days and they were doing the same thing and they were role modeling the behaviors. And I believe that change only takes about 4 weeks to make the whole change. Yeah. But it's the embedding and the continuing of that change. And that's the bit that falls down, is when you don't continue that. But the main change can happen really fast. It doesn't have to take forever. People talk about, oh, it needs to be in drip feed and over time and years. No, the change can happen. The bit that takes the time and the years is the embedding of it and keeping that standard. So I think role modeling is a big thing, and saying, just go and do it. What they used to say, we can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because we've just never been able to. They don't answer the phone to us, or people don't want to do that change. Let's just go do it. And I think that's a novel thing for people, because especially in the NHS, there's lots of people and chains to go through. And actually, when you pull all that away and just say, it's just you, it's raw, you do it, I'm not stopping you, then people believe and they just start to change that behaviour, and you notice really fast chain reaction.
Perfect. I love that. I really do.
So how have you gone from 104th to 13th?
Hard work. I mean, it's my amazing team, amazing team here.
Yeah.
I think that one of the biggest things is remembering that everybody who comes through our front door is someone's mother, father, brother, sister. And none of us get out of bed to do a bad job ever.
Yep.
We're in the NHS for a reason. We're in healthcare for a reason. And if we make it everyone's business, so everyone across the whole organization, the front door is all of our businesses, because if I don't get a patient out the back door, if you look at every one discharge in our hospital means that 5 patients are going to get into the hospital. And that is the patient who's coming in from the community into on the ambulance into the ED, the patient who's in the ED who needs to get to the assessment unit out into the ward ready for their discharge into an area, and then so on. It only takes one move and you can get all those patients in. And when people start to stop talking about numbers, stop talking about percentages, and you talk about the patient. So the elderly lady who's lying on a pavement outside, we saw that, didn't we, in the news when the ambulances weren't able to get to people.
And
the risk is in the community because they don't have oxygen. They don't have a nurse, a doctor, or anything like that. What they need to do is get into us.
Yes.
And when you start to really talk about it in that way, as a healthcare professional, you can't not want to drive a change. And we celebrate. So celebrating the smallest wins in the beginning made them feel hungry again for, oh my God, we can actually do this. And I remember one of the consultants turned around to me after about a month and he said to me, I never believed I would ever work like this again. And it's it brings people. Yeah. And we celebrate every little win. And even if we go down a little bit, it's still a win for us. There's still more to do. We're still not there. But at the moment, we're getting them in. We're providing good care. We're turning them around when we need to. And we're all working together for the same cause. And I think it really brings joy in the hospital that we're seeing that change. And I think that's how we did it, is bringing a bit of joy back to work and a bit of pride, but just believing that we're making a difference and the patient is like one of our family members.
Oh, that is, do you know what? It's lovely to hear this. It's a great insight into how things work as well, because we never actually get to hear this. And I love the fact of that celebrating everything that you've done. And I'm going to just move it forward, because I understand that one of your phrases is that you're not going to kill someone, do it. Because obviously we know, so I know, with the NHS, and as you gave that example about the older woman, you've got the spotlight on you. Yeah. So it's then how do you work through, how do you support to get people to be able to just get on and do it without that fear?
Yeah. I say that because I try to expect, we're not working with tins of beans, right? We're not in a supermarket or we're not, this is people's lives.
Yes.
And I say it because it's to try and help people to understand that there isn't anything really in between that you can't reverse, or you can't stop and say, actually, this change didn't work, or I tried this. Just give it a try, because if it's not going to harm somebody, you're not losing out on anything, but actually you gave it a shot. And it's the will that, oh, I tried it 5 years ago, I tried it 10 years ago, it didn't work. But why didn't it work? Because it works in other places, in that we need to take from other organizations and other places that do things fabulous, and they're winning in so many areas. And that's what we do. We take the stuff and empower people to just go with what they want to go with. I come and present to me, I always go back to them, is what is your solution? I'm not giving you the solution.
Yeah,
you tell me. And then when they tell me, I said, go do it. If it's not going to harm someone, crack on. And I think they found that hard with me. I'm the opposite of maybe what they've ever been used to. But now they're flourishing and they know that they can do it. They can go and they can make a difference. And we still often come back and forth, and there's a bit of, we wouldn't be doing our jobs in the hospital, and that's all of my exec team, if we didn't have to every so often step in and help people, because I'm here to help people and guide people.
Yeah. Mm.
But I do believe that everybody has a solution to a problem, and it's just about giving them that permission to go out there, do their change themselves. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. As long as it's not harming anyone, then...
Yes, totally. And I'm so with you. And especially when you said that, gave that example where it's like, I tried this 5 years ago, this is not going to work now. But sometimes people throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm,
they always do, though. So often, don't you? I tried it for 2 weeks and it didn't work. Of course it didn't work, because you didn't give it enough time. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to work. Or maybe you didn't have the right team or the right resources around you at that time. And we've been doing lots of improvement in falls and pressure ulcers. And we've had such a great outcome for the last 9 months. And we had a blip in December. And I could hear people saying, oh, go back, we've got to change it. No, stop. We're not changing what we've done so successfully. Something has happened. Let's work out from the outside and look in. What was the little thing that changed? And then we look at that bit. We don't just scrap everything. And it's about that, trying to get people to remember, you've done great for so long. Why would we stop it now?
Yes.
And what was it that had changed?
Oh, we had a rise in pressure ulcers and a drop in falls. And we're not entirely sure yet, because we're still analysing it. But I think that the unintended consequences of trying to prevent falls maybe also people sitting down more maybe and made it a little bit easier for them to get more pressure area damage rather than falling. And I think it's really just thinking about the whole of it as one rather than separate. And I think that it was busy. We have lots of elderly patients who are prone to poor skin, et cetera.
Yeah.
There was a lot of elements, but it wasn't a let's just scrap it. And actually, when we did that, we've already seen we've gone back down again, and it's continuing on the improvement journey. So it was good to not just scrap everything that they had done and try to change.
It's just sometimes just taking a moment and just to look back. Okay.
Yeah.
Your inspirations, I've heard, have come from Helen Bevan, who runs a course called Breaking the Rules. And so in this course, she gets to brainstorm all the rules and restrictions that makes that hold people back. Tell us more about that.
So she does a thing where there are always rules that people have, and they voice it out, and they're just made up. And it's because someone a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago implemented something or said something, and it's just become embedded in your work or in everyone's belief. But what she does and encourages people to do is to get in a room and have three categories with post-it notes. And on one of the categories, put what are the rules? Everybody writes out rules. And we put what is a trust rule that we all think, and on my ward, it's this, and her ward, it's different. So it has to be just something that we've made in our trust. then what is like policy, so our trust policies, and then what is a national guideline. And what you find when you do it is really you have very little in a national guideline. You might have like half of the policy for a trust policy, and then everything like loads is in the other box. And what it is the stuff in the first box are nothing. Someone's made it up and it's just become practice and custom. The middle box are the policies. Even if it is something, it's ours to change. It's our policy. So if it's not working, why do you keep practicing and why do you keep doing it? Because we have the ability to change it. The only box that we currently don't have the ability to just change is the government or the national guidelines, etc. But it doesn't mean we can't influence it when it comes around. But it's very people then they sit there, oh my God, I've been doing something and I could have changed it. Yes, you could have. And I think it's just a really good exercise, and you can do it in any profession. It's just to make you stop and think, oh my God, this is something that someone literally decided 10 years ago, and we have just by habit, all of us have just done the same practice without even questioning it. So it's a good thing to do. And she calls it breaking the rules because they're rules, right? Yeah. They're rules that someone has, but actually they're not real. You have the ability to change them.
Was there ever a rule that you came up that you realised, oh, that's just got to go? Putting you on the spot, sorry.
There's loads of rules that I've come up with that I've... I'm a bit of a rule book for me.
That's good.
In case you hadn't noticed. I can't think of one on the spot, but... I don't know. I think there are lots of things that I sometimes... do you know, it's harder when I was lower down in my career because you get quite frustrated by something that you knew just needed to be changed, or why can't I just do that? And I couldn't because it was a rule. I think that the beauty of being in my role now is that I can help people to break those rules safely. I'm not an unsafe person. I think that's what one of the greatest things about my job is, that I can help people to not be frustrated by those things. And it's something that I constantly remind and remember. So it wasn't that long ago I was one of those people that was frustrated by rules that were just made up. So I think that's a nice part of my job, but there are lots of rules.
Henry, were there any rules that you thought, oh my gosh, they need to be broken straight away?
Well, then we have no rules that are happy.
Yeah, just to be happy.
Yes, just to be happy, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're empowering people and letting them just change things and giving them self-belief. Is that right?
I'm trying. I think one of the really great things that my chief exec has done, so we're quite a new exec team. Over the last couple of years, there's one or two of them that are longer than that, but it feels like a different team. It's almost like I tell him he's either a genius or lucky that he's plucked this team together, that we're very different people, but we all have the same vision and values, but also that get up and go. And what's quite nice is we're all trying to empower to not be a top-down organization.
Yeah.
And this is something that I've learned through learning from all the people that I respect out there, or the leadership courses that I've been on, or I did this coaching course years and years ago. And the one thing that I always took away from it was the choir analogy. With the choir, you have the hummers at the end of the line. You have the people who are singing, but not really, and still a bit hummering. Then you have the singers in the middle. And you always focus your energy on the end ones. But you're never going to change them, and you're never going to bring them in. And you forget the ones in the middle who are nearly the singers.
Yeah.
And if you just invest in those people, they become your singers and the others just fade away. And that's what we're doing, is trying to empower the organization that are, my improvement team call it, people who can infect an organization. And that's what we're trying to do as execs, is in fact a culture change of, you can be empowered. We're all in it together. We're going to drive improvement and change to make our organization a better place. And I think our exec team is a team that we're all doing that. So it's quite nice. And I couldn't do any of the stuff that I'm doing if I hadn't learned it or borrowed it or stole it off someone else and just put it all into my toolbox. And I think that's what's really important, is we've all brought stuff from different areas. But when you are all trying to drive the same values and same vision, it doesn't matter how different we are, because we're all there for the same thing. And I think that's our special ingredient. So I don't want anyone to think that it's just me. It hasn't just been me. 5,500 people have been doing this. I think it does help when you have a team at the top of rooting for everybody and allowing and giving them the power. And we're not there. We'll take years to completely get to where we want to get to, but I think we're definitely at an exciting part in our journey, and I think the future is quite bright for us, hopefully.
But you're actually feeling the shift already.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it.
We're definitely feeling the shift. There's a lot of excitement, real positivity. I remember just after Christmas, when you come back into a winter, after Christmas is really bleak normally, and you just drag. Some people have had a couple of days off, etc. And I walked into my ED department, and one of the consultants and one of the nurses was sitting on the desk with a massive grin on their faces. And I walked in, I said, oh, you're looking happy today. And they were like, oh my God, it's like the best time I've ever come back. And it's so nice because everyone's trying to do improvement. They're enjoying being at work. You know, it's not every day is like rosy and like sunshine and flowers. It's still hard work and hard slog. And we have some really bad days. But actually, I feel like we're an organization now that believes one of the tests is how quick you recover from a bad day. And most places might take, it took us maybe 3 or 4 days normally, and it takes us half a day to recover. So actually that just shows how much we're changing as an organization.
Oh, that's brilliant. I think when you first started explaining it, I was like, the picture in my head was Game of Thrones. Winter. Winter's coming.
That's what it feels like in the NHS though. Like it's just, people wouldn't actually, you don't understand it or believe it until you're in it. It's really hard, especially it's meant to be a time with families and celebration and downtime, and we're going still. And it's really tough, and it's really tough out there. And it's not easy in any shape or form, but we have had a better time than we ever expected in terms of what we thought was going to come and hit us. So we're lucky in that way, because there's been lots of places across the country that haven't had the same experience. But it is a bit Games of Thrones when you think about what we experience in winter. But winter happens every year, right?
Yeah, totally. And look, if you had one person smiling, it's infectious and it spreads.
I'm like, yes, I'm winning.
And can you give an example of where people have been empowered, where you haven't told them what to do, but they've just done it?
So one of our units, they wanted to change the way we have, basically have areas, bays, and they wanted to change. And they talked about a lot of how do we make the flow happen more in this department? How can we have a sort of like a proper assessment bay in the first part of it? And they kept talking about it, and I said, just, you know, go and do it. And they have turned that area around, and they've done it all by themselves. So I had no part in any of it. It was just go do it. Like, I don't need to see your plans. I don't need to approve it. You go do it and then bring me back the evidence and what's happened. And they're rocking it every day in that unit. And they've expanded it. And I think that it's just about allowing them to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's so many. They're bringing in new initiatives, changing what is on a ward. So even the way our flow worked, and even one whole floor, they've moved everything around, and it's just go and do it. So it's quite nice. I feel people are really just starting to believe that they can change stuff for the better. And even if it's not, it's okay. And we'll just work on it together. And we are here if you need us, but actually just go do it.
Go do it.
I love
you. Go do it. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like that person's owning it as well.
Yes, yeah. I have so many shining lights coming out of it all that are just, I've got two doctors in particular that we work with who, when you just look at them, I just think, oh God, they're so amazing. That we had in nursing, there are lots of things that I think I will end my nursing career and I'll never fix or change or have the answer to. Sometimes there's just these things that are just impossible. And one of the things in nursing and everywhere is criteria-led discharge, which is basically you can put a list of things that if a patient meets those parameters, they're okay to be discharged without seeing a doctor, as an example, for a nurse. But we can never crack it, really. It's always someone's done it a bit somewhere and then it's fallen down. And these two doctors, if I knew in my career what it took was two doctors to do it, I would have done it a long time ago. But I think it was because they were doctors and they saw it from a different angle and they really just wanted to go and do it. And they set it up in their ward and they did nursing criteria-led discharge. But then on a weekend when there's less doctors around, the junior doctors or resident doctors that we call them now, maybe didn't have the confidence to discharge a patient. So then they made resident doctors discharge as well. And they've just flown and they come and they show their improvement work. And they just thought that they would get more earlier discharges out and maybe some more on the weekend. But it nearly doubled the amount of discharges they were having every week.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're so infectious. It's like it's their most favourite thing to do. And the way they spread it around and they try and get everyone on board. And they're a little bit of, I call them the single point of failure, because they're really trying to get everybody as excited as them, which is our task. It's not the most exciting thing for people to get excited about, but actually when they start to present it and show it, then there is more people wanting to get on board,
buy-in.
Yeah, but then with the other side of it, which can happen, which has slightly happened with this, is we then, other people were getting doing improvements and they weren't talking to each other, and the unintended consequences of it is one of the improvements that is great improvement then affected their improvement, and then they stopped doing it. And then when I found out, I was like, correct it, you have to go back and do it. So now I'm like, get back out there. So you've got to be careful when you're doing things on a large, in a large scale organization or office, etc. You've got to make sure that your communication, you can let people get on and do stuff, but if they're not talking, the consequences can be dramatic because they do something that affects the other person. And so that's something that we're really trying to, you know, this is my next step of how do you all talk to each other, but make sure that if you're on one side of the hospital in a different surgery, as an example, how does medicine get to know about what you're doing so you don't affect each other? So that's our next piece of work. But there are lots of people who are, the thing is, if you're doing something every day and you're working in an area, or you've been doing your job for years, you know what things need to happen, we need to change, just need to let them try and do it.
And anyway, what gives you joy outside of work, Kelly?
Oh, sleeping.
Ah, yes, I agree.
No, I don't even sleep. My kids, I've got two boys, my family, I'm meeting my friends, and having some downtime gives me joy out of work. I don't have any fun hobbies or anything like that before you ask me. I'm not that excited. But yeah, my family.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kelly. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It's been lovely talking to you.
How was that, Maureen?
Oh, that was so good.
It was, wasn't it? It was.
But Henry, I'm going to let you tell me what you think first. Because I'd normally take your ideas. Go for it.
Well, the go do it. The go do it. Just getting that done is fabulous. The joy stuff. But also that they don't have a hierarchy, really. They do it from the bottom up. And that thing about the bays, that was fabulous. The doctors were fabulous. It's just empowering people, having a culture of trust and freedom. You know, that's what we talk about.
Yeah.
But it should definitely be the case in the NHS.
No, totally. It can work anywhere. And that's the message, I guess. I love that. And just to say, even her stories of, what's really touched me is when she talked about that month that they took out.
Yeah.
And she went on the shop floor,
yes.
You know, and started cleaning.
Absolutely. And then other people cleaned.
That's it, the role modelling. But it's the whole thing about it. It doesn't matter what role or position, the ability to get down and work with each other to show that everybody is on the same level. And hence her, again, this, I really loved it, when she said about her being the rule breaker, the person that they can come to,
yes,
to break the rules.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And the rules aren't part of the national guidelines. You know, they are part of the trust, you know, or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it. Well, if you think about it, and I don't know if you agree, is that some of these rules are being from leaders or managers that felt that they needed to control rather than to trust.
Yeah, yeah, yes, indeed. Yes.
Brilliant.
Excellent.